On November 5th, a gunman killed 26 worshipers at a Baptist church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Learn the cause of the mass shooting epidemic in America and the hope-filled solution to it. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. On November the 5th, 2017, a gunman entered a small Baptist church and killed 26 people and wounded 20 other people in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Every person in that church building was either killed or wounded, so we are told. That was the largest mass murder, mass shooting that in the history of Texas. And you'd have to say, well, we are reaching epidemic proportions in America for mass shootings and killings like this. After it's over, well, people begin to continually ask, why?
Why did he pick this place? Why did he feel compelled to do that? I don't know.
Why is it happening? Why such violence and why such bloodshed? Or they're asking, well, why is this violence and bloodshed increasing so fast? And then, of course, they pray about it. We talk about praying about it quite often, but are those prayers being answered? What is the cause and what is the solution to this terrifying problem? Ezekiel is an end-time prophetic book. And you can easily prove that if you just write for our booklet on Ezekiel. And it explains just explicitly why we have this violence and all of this bloodshed and all of these mass shootings and mass killings. It tells you just so starkly and clearly that anybody can understand it if they are willing to and if they want to. But do we really want the answer? That is another question I think we need to ask. But let's look at that prophecy in Ezekiel 7 and verse 23. Ezekiel 7 and verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Now, again, this is explicitly addressing problems like we saw in Sutherland Springs, Texas. And God does place some blame here. And why is it? And who is to blame for this most of all? Now, this is a rather shocking statement that Ezekiel makes, but this is an end-time book addressed to Israel. And if you don't know who Israel is, you need to get our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. And you can see that name in this end time is on two nations. And we need to understand what is going on. Notice verses 25 and verse 26. Destruction comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then they shall seek a vision of the prophet. But the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. Well, what do you know about that? God blames the prophets and the priests or the ministry, most of all. Now, that's something we need to think about, because these are horrendous problems. And we need to solve them, and we need to solve them quickly, and we could, if we would. The ministry is failing to give God's vision and God's counsel, it says here. They're not giving the very counsel of God to the people, and therefore we can't solve the problems. If you want to look at Isaiah 30 and verse 10, it says there that the people say to the ministry, well, preach unto us smooth things, preach deceits. That's what they ask for, and that's what the ministers, for the most part, give them. So says your Bible, and so says God's condemnation of Israel in this end time. But do you and I, is this the way we approach the Bible? Do we really want smooth things preached to us, or do we want God's truth preached to us so we can really solve our problems individually and collectively? We need to know why. And I want to show you that there's all kinds of hope here. And whether we even obey or not, there's still great hope. But a lot of suffering is going to happen if we don't respond. Verse 27 says this, "The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled." Yes, indeed, a lot of trouble. "I will do unto them after their way, or their according to what their doings, and according to their deserts will I judge them. And they shall know that I am the Eternal." They're going to know. You see, the people are troubled, and they should be. But here is the God of judgment. He's not just a God of love. He's a God of judgment, and He's going to judge us according to our ways, according to our lifestyles, according to our deeds. Now, can you imagine through all of the trouble like we are discussing here that God says it is through all of this that they're going to get to know me? They don't know God. They think they do, but in most cases they don't. And that's why we have to examine these verses very carefully. There is a little remnant that does know and is teaching the people what the Bible says. Verse 7 of Revelation 12. I want to read you something there. Verse 7 of Revelation 12. And I might mention also, of course, that the sooner we respond to God's counsel or His vision, the sooner we're going to solve our problems. So we have two questions here. Why so much violence and bloodshed? And why is it increasing so fast? What is happening? It's increasing exponentially in this country. And I think anybody can see that, and if they're honest, I believe they'll accept that. But let's look at the most prophetic book in the Bible, and we'll start in Revelation 12 and verse 7. This is God's most prophetic book in the Bible. Verse 7, "And there was a war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." Now this is a universe-shaking event. Think about this. It only happens in this end time. And you're going to see why everything's happening so fast. And then we'll take a look at just why the violence is there, period, or question mark. So the devil and his millions of demons made another war against God. This is the second one. The other one was in, you can read about it in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. But here we have Satan cast to this earth with millions of demons, and Satan is the father of liars. There's no truth in him, it says in John 8 and verse 44. And he was a murderer from the beginning. And he and all those murderous demons are cast to this earth and now confined to this earth. And we believe we can prove that happened almost 32 years ago in 1986. And we'll send you material to, we believe, prove that to you. We'll send you Malachi's message and also a book, Raising the Ruins. And that's a huge book that will explain how all of that happened and explain why we need to look to God for the answer to the question why when we have violence and bloodshed like we've just experienced time and time again. you're going to have to do some studying and looking into these things. But it all began with a war in heaven. This is how powerful Satan is. He thinks he can overthrow God. He can't, of course. He doesn't even get close, but he still has great power. And after he lost that war, well, he's now confined to this earth, and he has a war against Israel mainly because Israel are the chosen people of God. Now he's warring against them. And these people of Israel have a history with God. Anciently, it was just one nation, but today it's 12 nations. But God speaks of it, of Israel prophetically in this end time, as only two nations that have the name Israel in prophecy. Now, you can see even in Genesis 49 and Genesis 50 where God did put that name on two nations, and he even prophesied what would happen to all 12 nations in this end time. In the very first book of the Bible, there's prophecy throughout the Bible, and yet are we willing to look at it and face it? Notice verse 9 of Revelation 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, can you imagine what kind of an impact this would have on the earth? With Satan and all those demons and all their power and all their hatred and all their lying and all their murdering, they just love to do such things. And that's what Satan is like. And yet, how many people really know Satan the devil? And I'll show you in scriptures that God says they don't know me. But they're going to get to know me through a lot of trouble if that's the only way they'll heed God's message. There's an easier way. There is a message, and God always warns his people, and there is a message, but will we respond to it? Think of the impact. All of these spirit beings that are so evil, now confined to this earth and mainly into two nations. And that means a lot of violent changes and a lot of mass murder. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now come salvation and strength. And it goes on to talk about Satan being an accuser of the brethren. He's the one that divides us. He gets one side against the other, and he's divided this nation. He's divided Britain. And how did he do that? Well, he gets the people taking one side, let's say, wants to dispose of all the guns. The other side wants the guns to protect themselves. And really, neither side actually wants to go to God and see what God says. The only being that has a solution. Now, look, these are serious problems. And isn't it time that we really want to receive God's word? That we don't want smooth things? We don't want deceits? We want the truth. That's the only way we can solve these problems. Verse 11, and they overcame him, that is the God's repentant people, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, by accepting the sacrifice of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. In other words, they started obeying God and trembling before his word. The elect overcame Satan the devil by accepting that sacrifice, and they realized how they could remove all kinds of sins from their lives and bloodshed and violence and that type thing. They got rid of that, and they know how to solve these problems. They learned how to do that, and now God has given them the message to deliver to the world, to show the world how to do it. That's what it's all about. True Christians overcome the way Christ overcame, it says in Revelation 3 and verse 21. And Christ fought this titanic war with Satan the devil in Matthew 4. It talks about that. And he conquered the devil and he showed us how to conquer the devil. Christians have to overcome the way he did. Now it says in verse 12, therefore rejoice you heavens and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. Great wrath. Why is he so full of his greatest wrath? Because it says he knows that he has but a short time. He knows that Christ is about to return and kick him off his throne. He has a throne and he's worshipped in this world. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Now, that's the best news we could hear. Jesus Christ is going to return at the conclusion of all of this violence and warfare and murder and bloodshed and all of the terrible problems just exploding on this earth. Now, when Satan and the demons were kicked out of the heavens, the angels, the righteous angels, and God rejoiced just to get him out of there, but now he's confined to this earth and he's going to cause us some problems, and God is going to very soon kick him out of this earth as well. But notice verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, or God's church. The woman is a type of a church, which brought forth the man child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. So God protects his people when it gets terribly bad. He protects them. But 95% of his own people have rebelled against him. But there's a little remnant that did not rebel, and God's going to protect them from all of the violence and the bloodshed in the future. He is going to miraculously protect his people. And you can go on to see where he even caused an earthquake to swallow an army that was really going after God's people. So the first question that I ask is, why this violence, such violence in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and other places in this end time? Why are we experiencing that? Let me just read you a few verses from Ezekiel to illustrate what God says. I'll just quickly go through these. Ezekiel 6 and verse 1 says it's addressed to Israel, and he talks about your dwelling places being laid waste. And then it says in verse 7, but you're going to get to know the Lord or the Eternal. And he's upset. He has a broken heart because of their whorish sins. And they've departed from God. And then he goes on in verse 10 to say, I am the Eternal. And he said, I've not said this in vain. I'm telling you, I said it and I'm going to do it. He has warned his people. And then in verse 13 it says, then you shall know that I am the Eternal. You don't know now, but you're going to know. Everybody's about to know. Many billions even in a resurrection are going to get to know God. And then verse 14 says the same thing again. They shall get to know that I am the Eternal. Why does God keep repeating this? Because we need to get it in our minds. We hear it, but we need to hear it over and over and over again, so that we understand that God is doing this because he loves us, and it's the only way he can get us to know him. He'd like to them for Israel to just listen to his word and his warning, but they won't do that for the most part. The end has come, it says in verse 6 of chapter 7. That time has come, and he goes on to say that he's doing the smiting and causing some serious problems, but he goes on just to repeat over and over about our abominations, like Isaiah 3 and verse 12, where the family's upside down and the children are not reared properly, they're not directed, they're not taught. and guided by parents who know what they're doing and know what God wants them to do. And so the children are not prepared to face life. That's why they're into this opioid crisis and into other drugs. They weren't prepared to face the challenge of life. And we see these problems multiplying in so many areas. When is it going to stop? You see all of the hatred and racism, and Christ says very clearly in the New Testament that hatred is murder spiritually. So we can't obey Christ and follow Him and be filled with hatred or racism or something like that. We fill this earth with pornography, the most sleazy gluts of it, sent out to this world from a people who have a history with God. And still they do such sins. And God is going to punish them if they don't wake up very quickly. They have a history with God. If you look at Ezekiel 8 and verse 1, you'll see that Ezekiel was just transported right into our times in a vision. And he tells us how to solve these problems. Notice, I'll just give you a few more scriptures to show you this, why we're having this violence. Because of, God says, of the abominations. That's one of the strongest words in the Bible. Our sins. God is concerned about our sins. And do we want to hear that, or do we want smooth things? Do we want deceits? Do we really want to know why these terrible shootings, mass shootings are happening? Do we really want to know why? God wants to know. And He's talking to me, He's talking to you, He's talking to all of us. Then He goes on to say in chapter 8, I should go far from my sanctuary because it's polluted. And He says, go a little further and you'll see greater abominations. Verse 9 says, these are wicked abominations. It's all aimed at the house of Israel. Here's what the people say in verse 12 of chapter 8. They say the Eternal sees us not. The Eternal has forsaken the earth. Well, he's not around. It's okay. And then he goes on to talk about in the next verse about still greater abominations. Because we don't know God. We think He's gone far off from the earth, and He's very much involved in what's happening righteously in this earth and punishing the people who are committing those greater abominations. People have to realize there's a penalty for these great sins that we take so casually in many, many ways. But there is hope in all this. That's what God shows us. We're going to get to know Him. No matter how we think, we're going to get to know Him, even if we're still rebelling. He's going to show us that that way can never work. And, of course, he said, you've provoked me to anger. Verse 18, therefore will I also deal in fury. Mine eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. This is God talking, and He's appealing to us. He wants us not to hear the smooth things, but to hear the truth of God. And great things are going to happen in your life if you let that happen to you. I'll guarantee you that. That's a promise from God. But again, we do have to ask the difficult question, do we really, really, really want to know why? Do we want to know why that mass shooting happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and many other places in America where we saw so much bloodshed? It just keeps happening and more frequently and more massively than it has in the past. God repeats about 15 times in those three chapters I just read to you about you're going to get to know God. You're going to get to know this glorious, all-power, loving God. And He's going to solve all our problems, and He's going to destroy all the evils on this earth and bring righteousness and joy and happiness into this earth and into the whole universe. And that's going to continue on forever and ever and ever. Now, that's what the Bible is all about. God is going to give us those wonderful blessings and that fabulous future and all that hope. But we're going to have to learn some very important lessons first. Until next week, this is Gerald Furry. Goodbye, friends.
Millions of people around the world are familiar with the expansive humanitarian and evangelistic work of Herbert W. Armstrong, even though he died more than 30 years ago. However, hardly anyone knows what happened to that work after he died. There is a very sinister reason for that. Request our free, hardbound book, Raising the Ruins, to learn how Mr. Armstrong's successors dismantled his church, doctrine by doctrine, and asset by asset. Not everyone in the worldwide Church of God decided to rebel. A tiny, loyal group of Christians endured a six-year, life-and-death court battle to preserve some of Mr. Armstrong's most important writings. In the process, they revived and shared his shining legacy. Read Raising the Ruins to understand how this little remnant beat the odds and showed themselves approved unto God. Mass shootings have become an epidemic in America. Believe it or not, this crisis relates to a violent spiritual war in heaven more than three decades ago. Your Bible reveals that Satan and his demons lost this war and have been confined to earth. No longer able to roam the universe, these vicious spirit beings have turned the full heat of their wrath on mankind. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Malachi's Message, to prove that Satan's top target is God's church. After Mr. Armstrong's death in 1986, the worldwide Church of God was destroyed in no time at all. Satan crushed this church from within and from the very top. He uses the exact same strategy to attack his number two target, the modern descendants of ancient Israel, primarily America. His attacks won't stop until America lies in ruin. Read Malachi's Message to see how God will protect those who serve Him today. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request Raising the Ruins and Malachi's Message. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.